8. The Epistle of James, chapter 5, the 7 and the 8 verses. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The Epistle of James, chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. We can gather that in the primitive church, as of course it has always been, there have been troubles, persecutions, and tribulations of all manner of circumstances and sorts. We read in this fifth chapter of James's epistle, and that the hire of labourers who have reaped down the fields, and there is that which is kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which are reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. And the sixth verse, and we read, ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Now, of course, we may not have those particular troubles that James has set forth, but we know that in the days of the apostles, there were troublesome times. And I do not believe it, and you need me to tell you this afternoon that our little lot is cast into troublesome times. And those troubles, of course, perhaps are of a different nature and a different sort than the primitive Christians had to endure. But nevertheless, we know this: that which the Lord hath left on record when he says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good comfort, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And so, dear friends, are we not to expect trouble on one hand or the other? And although the Lord, we know, and he will never lay on his dear people that which he doth not give strength and to, for them to endure and to bear. You and I, dear friends, may very often and come, as it were, to almost breaking point. But, dear friends, I believe the Lord will still uphold, defend, as he hath done through all the generations. He hath upheld, defended, and brought each one of his dear people successfully and finally through all their tribulations, all their troubles, and all their perplexities. And so you may say then, what has this to do with a Thanksgiving service? Well, I believe, dear friends, we can come to this point, because undoubtedly we have each witnessed these things in the naturally in the past few weeks, and where the husbandman, and that had waited for those precious fruits of the earth, he hath gathered them in. And although, of course, and there has been undoubtedly times when the husbandman perhaps thought that the harvest would perhaps be a complete failure. But my dear friends, I understand, and of course it is a harvest thanksgiving service, but I understand that particularly in the southern part of the country, and that the cereal yield at least have been the best for 10 years. And when I was acquainted with that, I thought, how miraculous. Look what has occurred, as I just briefly mentioned in prayer. Look what hath occurred in our wicked and sinful nation in so many things, and particularly in that awful law of desecrating the Sabbath day. And yet the dear Lord hath seen fit to send, because I believe that this early and latter rain sets before us suitable weather. And the dear Lord, in the midst of all our sin and all our unworthiness and all our unkindness, the dear Lord has sent suitable weather, not only for the gathering in, but for the harvest, and also for the ripening of that harvest and the gathering in. He has sent that an early rain for the quickening of the grain, and that latter rain for the swelling of the grain. And now that harvest has almost, if not quite, been gathered in, and has been, as I understand, the best harvest for 10 years. Oh, dear friends, I think this loudly speaks of our merciful God. And of course, we do not want to dwell, of course, on these things, but we have to turn these things to ourselves also, do we not? And as we look back over the last 12 months since I last stood here and came amongst you as little people, look at the wondrous mercies that we have been each the recipients of. Has he not so graciously and wonderfully provided for us? Has he not, as you sung in your hymn, he has spread our table. He has preserved us from many ills and dangers, and he has kept us. And although we have been so much forsaking him, yet we can testify of this to the honor and the glory of his most gracious and wondrous name. How watchful and kind. You see how the little hymn says, how watchful and kind is our loving Lord. And that one that says, unseen protector I have, unseen yet ever at hand. And we do desire to acknowledge these things personally and collectively as we gather once again for this little Thanksgiving service. And of course, as we look at our little places of worship. There is much, dear Lord, dear friends, that casts us down, but also can we not trace his loving mercies so bountifully granted unto us that he hath enabled us and to continue. Although there have been much to discourage and much to cast us down, yet the dear Lord has still strengthened us, we trust, spiritually and physically, whereby we still can meet and round his precious word and hear those gracious truths which we trust and are a help and a blessing unto us as we journey through life's pathway. Now, dear friends, I just want then to bring this figure and be for you, and that James, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, hath left on record, where he says, "Behold, there's something well worthy of you and I here to behold." Not merely naturally, but I hope it may be that it will help us spiritually. And we are instructed to behold the husbandman, he waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Now, it may, my dear friends, be a help to one here and another there in respect unto God's dealings with you and I personally, or I trust it may also be a help to us in respect to God's dealings with us as little churches and people. Because I believe there is wonderful instruction here in this natural and type or figure representation that James brings before us. In this respect, dear friends, first of all, and the husbandman, of course, as you know, he sets or drills his seed in the field, and it is covered with earth. This seems to be perhaps the most unlikely thing whereby we should expect prosperity or success. Surely there must be something and different whereby we can reap these precious fruits by burying them in the earth. It is the ordained way of the dear Lord, my dear friends. So often is it not, and that your little hopes and your expectations, they seem to be so very often and buried in the earth and covered up completely. Oh, dear friends, look at you see and the instruction or the exhortation for us and this afternoon is this: be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. This is that which I want to bring before myself. I want to bring it before you. Trust in the Lord, and will help me and bless us in our brief meditation in respect to being patient and brethren and unto the coming of the Lord. That seed, dear friends, if we start right from, well, we know, of course, the earth has to be prepared, and the seed sown in the ground. Is it not, my dear friends, that sometimes our little hope, our little faith, seems to be almost shrouded? What about, dear friend, and those prayers, and that case you have deeply seated in your heart? It seems as though at times all these things seem to be completely smothered, and there seems to be but very little of any evidence of life at all. But, dear friends, look at this figure again, and the husbandman, he had patience until he received that early rain. And that early rain, my dear friends, which of course assists the seed to germinate, and the seed is quickened, as it were, and perhaps you've seen it as I've seen it, and that after a rain we see such a vast difference, and those things that were hidden and now, and we see, and there is that life. dear friends. Look at this early rain, and that rain that distills as the dew and drops as the rain the precious word of God. Is there not, dear friends, that reviving in our poor hearts? And when the Lord sees fit to descend in His precious word and speak a word and suited to our case, where all seem to be lifeless, everything seemed to be covered up, but we've had to have patience, dear friends. And be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. This is a vital point, my dear friends, in our little religion, so often perhaps by you and I overlooked. You see, I have said sometimes that the New Testament promise is this that the Lord Jesus speaks of. He says, I will see you again. That's a sweet promise, my dear friends. It's a real promise. It's a promise that the dear Lord will fulfill. And how will he see you and I again? When everything seems to be covered up, and there seems to be such a dearth, and how so often we seem to be cast down, not perhaps hardly seem an evidence of life, and not pointing the finger, as it were, at anyone else, but looking in our own heart. It seems to be so lifeless, and there seems to be very little evidence of anything ever springing up. But, dear friends, that early rain. Now, what does the dear apostle write into the Hebrews? He says this: for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, mark these words, dear friends, every syllable is so great and so important. And whether we look on it individually in our own cases or in our churches, he says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, I would that the Holy Spirit may emphasize this, which of course goes with our text. And he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Those early rains, my dear friends, let's just go back to the figure, those early rains that quicken and that seed into life, and now there is manifest life. And where there was perhaps a few days previous, where there was hardly a sign of it, that early rain came, that corn was quickened, and as of course the Lord said, and first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. And that root working downwards is now being made evident and by the springing upward. If this, dear friends, is so in nature, surely, dear friends, as this figure we are just meditating upon a little this afternoon, surely it must be so spiritually when we find the dear Lord saying, yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now, in this little while, my dear friends, and of course, and we know not the duration of this little while, but what we do know is this, that in compared to eternity, it is but a little while. It is, and Paul speaks in another place, it is but for a moment, dear friends. But this little while, of course, is and seems to be so often prolonged in our experience. And what are we exalted in this little while, and until he that shall come and will not tarry? And the apostle and then continues in this way: now the just shall live by faith. Now this is of the greatest importance, my dear families, in respect to our walking in this pilgrimage way. It's a lesson, I believe, that we shall continually be taught, and right to the very end of our days. The just shall live by faith. So often you and I want to live on tangible evidences, but the Lord has said his dear, that those that he hath justified, is a wonderful a description of God's dear people. That soul is justified by faith in the precious blood of the Lamb, and those the Lord hath redeemed, those whom the Father hath chosen in Christ from all eternity, those that are justifying, these are the ones, my dear friends, and that shall have to walk by faith. And then he goes on to say, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, in this, and then, and this these just persons who live, who are brought to live by faith, I believe that this same person will be patient, because I feel this, dear friends, this grace of patience flows from and that just person living by faith. And perhaps you've experienced this, and that when your faith seems to be almost at its wit's end, where you may feel perhaps almost cast out at the ends of the earth, you cannot find any stability or any comfort in anything. Is it not also, dear friends, that you have but very little, if any, patience? Because you see, patience, that grace of patience flows from faith, and when this soul is enabled to have patience to wait for those precious fruits, and this early rain now hath quickened that soul, and there have been those evidences of life. But there may be, of course, if we follow this figure, and of course we've all witnessed this in a greater or lesser measure, and that the husbandman has gone in the field, he has drilled his field, and the corn has been quickened, and we see the evidence of life. And we know that those cold blasts of winter, the snow, and those storms may descend upon this field, and it may appear, dear friends, that everything now is completely lost, is gone, and because this tender little blade we may feel can never survive under these severe conditions. But dear friends, have we not also seen when this severe weather hath abated, when the snow hath been hath gone, there hath been that tender little blade, there is still that evidence of life. Look at it in this way, dear friend. And those, you know, I do not doubt for one moment, and that each one of you, and who have been and taught by the Holy Spirit in some humble little measure, and you have locked in your bosom and locked in your heart many unanswered prayers. Perhaps it's respecting and your own safety and security. It may be concerning and your children or your grandchildren. It may be concerning the church. It may be concerning the whatever it may be, dear friends. And we can look perhaps at so many unanswered petitions and prayers, and we feel and the adversary will say it's no good you carrying on, and the Lord will never take any notice of you. He will never answer such poor stammering prayers as yours. Because if he was going to answer, look at the time that hath passed, and there's no evidence that the Lord is appearing. Just think, my dear friends, of this early rain, and that there was that sign of promise, and that had been almost covered and obliterated. Was there, dear friends, in that time when you thought even naturally, well, the thing and will perish? But have we not proved naturally that there had been that little tender plant had been preserved, dear friends? Is it not? Let us take this example, and behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth. There's a precious fruit, my dear friends, and that praying soul, my dear friends, because the Lord is faithful to all that He hath promised. And what has He promised? Ask, and ye shall receive, and knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Now I know, my dear friends, we have to be very careful, and when we are speaking on things in this way, because and we know not, as it were, and the mind and the will of God, and you see, and that soul that's living by faith, that soul will desire, by the teaching of the Holy Spirit, and to be submissive unto the will of God. He or she seeks that patience and that faith to be submissive to the will of God. He may, dear friends, answer your petition in perhaps such a way that you had never thought of. And also you may also think, and that the more you have prayed, the situation and the circumstances and they seem to get to your conclusions, they seem to get increasingly worse and worse. Now I just want to refer you, dear friends, to what is generally known as the Tale of Bricks. That is, when Moses and Aaron, they went into Pharaoh, and they requested that Pharaoh would let the children of Israel go, that they may hold a feast in the wilderness. And what was the result of these Moses and Aaron? And mark it, you see, Moses and Aaron, they were sent by the Lord, they were commanded by God to go into Pharaoh, And what was the result of this encounter with Pharaoh? And well, we know that Pharaoh commanded that same day the taskmaster of the people and their officers, saying, "Ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tail of the bricks which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught, therefore, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, Let us go and sacrifice unto our God." Now, in the outward appearance, my dear friends, it seems as though Moses and Aaron, going into Pharaoh, made their trouble 10 times, or even more than that. It seemed as though their trouble now was far, far greater. Pharaoh now put an extra burden on them that they had not to diminish the quantity of bricks that they made, but he would not give them straw and to make them. So the burden was that they had to go and search for straw to make them bricks. Well, of course, we know that we haven't had those circumstances, but very often, dear friends, the circumstances, and perhaps when we venture to seek the dear Lord by prayer, seems as though it aggravates the situation. And Satan will say, "Why don't you leave the whole thing alone? Don't touch it anymore. The situation is growing worse and worse, day by day. Leave it all alone." Now, dear friends, although of course Moses returned unto the Lord, and he said, "Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people, and why is it thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." Now, I know not, dear friend, what the circumstance is, and that may exercise and trouble your heart. It may, of course, if we can include providential things, we can include the affliction of the body, we can include the trials and the sorrows of the soul, we can include the tribulations that belong to God's dear people in the church, and all those things which God's dear people have ever been familiar with. Now, how can we interpret God's dealings with his dear people in such mysterious ways? Well, I can only bring this simple but profound figure to your knowledge this afternoon. That, dear James, these were people, as I've already said, they were in trouble. And James brings this figure before him. "Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and had long patience for it, until he received the early and the latter rain." Now, although you see, and that corn may have to be subjected and subdued to very harsh conditions and severe weather, but what has the dear Lord said, my dear friends? And that there will be seed time and harvest, summer and winter. And will all these things overthrow that promise of the Lord? Now, dear friends, apply that to that circumstance, and that is exercising your poor mind and your heart. And you seem to be in so great trouble in respect to these things. Can we not, dear friends, take, as it were, this example from the husbandman? There he's had the early rain, he's had the first promise, as it were, and although there has been a severity in weather almost sufficient to destroy it, that now what is required, and first the blade, then the ear, and when that ear appears, what is required now? The latter rain to swell the grain. Will that be forthcoming, my dear friends? All the anxious time and that the husbandman has until he sees the promises of God being unfolded unto him in respect unto not only the early rain, but the latter rain. Now, what a beautiful figure, dear friends. And this is in a simple figure, but may it be made a little help, dear friends, because We know these, and the husbandman who is waiting for these precious fruits of the earth, he had patience until he received the early and the latter rain. Now, let us see, not the precious fruits of the earth, but the precious fruits of heaven. Ah, that's the thing, isn't it? That's perhaps which is exercising your mind this afternoon, the precious fruits of heaven, and they may perhaps almost feel blasted. I do not know what state or condition you are in this experience. It may be in that first stage, waiting for the early rain. It may be in that latter stage, after the winter has passed, and you are waiting, as it were, for the latter rain. But whatever stage, my dear friends, you may be in this afternoon, this husbandman is set before us, that he had patience to wait, or long patience, and to wait for it. Now he says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Will the dear Lord, my dear friends, disappoint? And will he frustrate and the hopes and the expectations of his dear people, which he hath implanted in their hearts? You know, it would be a poor religion, dear friends, and would it not, If we had no expectation? And I believe the expectation of these justified and people that live by faith is, in this circumference, they are waiting for the coming of the Lord. They're waiting for those precious heavenly fruits. And what are some of these precious heavenly fruits? Is not, my dear friends, his love precious fruits to be shed abroad in your poor heart? Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. We have seen, dear friends, and with our natural eyes, and the fulfillment of that promise, and God hath been faithful to that promise, and there hath been that harvest that has been gathered in. If the dear Lord hath been faithful in those and things concerning the earth, can we not trust him and sweetly expect, dear friends, and those precious fruits of heaven? That is first of all, as he makes known and sheds abroad a little of his love in our poor hearts, all the barrenness, all the coldness, and when that love touches our hearts, how the heart then is soon warmed and by the love of Christ, and whereby he laid aside all his glory as he was in the bosom of the Father, and took upon him the nature of sinners such as you and I. Sin accepted, of course. He became a partaker of our flesh and blood. Oh, the love, my dear friend, the precious fruit of heaven, the waiting for the coming of the dear Lord. Can we not also, are there not those amongst me here and this afternoon who are waiting for the coming of the Lord in the manifestations of his grace and to their souls? First and foremost, of course, remember me with the favour that thou bearest towards and thy people. Oh, visit me with my salvation. Is there a soul here? And that is waiting. There seems to be so many discouragements. Just go back, dear friends, to this husbandman that I tried very briefly to put before you, and this afternoon, that husbandman, did he have that long patience, and did he wait in vain? You've seen the evidence, perhaps even in the past few days, where there has been that ingathering of the harvest. Will not the dear Lord, my dear friends, if he hath put that cry in your poor heart and my poor heart, Lord, remember me with a favour that thou bearest towards thy dear people. Visit me with thy salvation. Be patient, be patient. The Lord will fulfil the purposes of his grace in his appointed time, dear friends. And let us not take his delays for denials, because his delays are wisely ordered. Because perhaps, my dear friends, I'm not saying you are, but perhaps you and I have not been sufficiently humbled under the mighty hand of God, and casting all our care upon him, for he careth for you. You see, the dear Lord, when he reveals his love in your poor heart, when he manifests his all-sufficient grace, his sovereign grace, he prepares that heart, my dear friends, and he prepares it to this end, for his honour and his glory. You see, I often think of Gideon. He had an army of 32,000 men, although there was a great army before him. And these Midianites, they lay before him, and those camels and those chariots. And of course the dear man was afraid. And what an unusual thing. Of course, I was going to say, our natural sense would say, Gideon, can't you get more men in the field? You've got 32,000, but you can see all these Midianites spread before you. There's not sufficient. The Lord saw vastly different to this, and without going into all particulars, and that army, as you know, undoubtedly was reduced to 300 men. And look at their weapons, my dear friends, a lantern and a trumpet in their hands, and that was what Gideon had to venture into the army of the Midianites with these three, and they were split up into 100 each. Dear friends, may we be able to examine ourselves, and perhaps, you know, I don't want to speak disrespectful of anyone, but perhaps we're too big for ourselves yet a while, and the Lord is withholding the manifestations of his love and his grace and the tokens of that love. And is it not, dear friends, then that the Lord will then, as it were, he will blast all our gores, And we should have to come in this way, where, I often quote this, because I, if not awfully deceived, I trust I know just a little of it. Nothing in my hand I bring, nothing. Do you know what it is, poor soul? Be patient, therefore, unto the coming of the Lord. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Well, be patient, therefore, brethren. We cannot give ourselves that patience. It flows from that source that God grants, where that faithful soul. You see, and faith is centered upon the author and the finisher of faith, and faith is centered upon the Lord Jesus, that soul is granted that patience to wait for that time. Although God moves in such a mysterious way his wonders to perform, we would think perhaps if we had the control of this this cereal crop, we would never subject it to those frosts and that severe weather. But I understand this strengthens and helps the plant. And so the Lord, in his providential kindness, has seen fit for that. Also, my dear friends, and we know that, and that we shall know something of that furnace work, where we are put in that furnace. But be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. For he that shall come will come and will not tarry. He then doubles his exhortation, and he says, be ye also patient. And not only be also patient, establish your hearts. May our hearts be established and grounded on that solid rock, the rock Christ Jesus, and whereby we shall remain unmoved amongst all the discouragements, all those things that may blast every gourd. And may we see, I know these words are easy to repeat, but do it, there's that which faith believes, that all these things shall work together for our good, to them that love God. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. It is but for a little while. The dear Lord said to his disciples, just prior to his crucifixion, he says, I will see you again, and what? And your heart shall rejoice. This isn't my word, my dear friends. And faith is enabled sometimes to behold it. They were in deep trouble. So are you, my dear friends. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And here the dear Lord says, and ye shall rejoice. And that rejoicing is this. It will be a joy that no man can take away from you, dear friend. Be ye patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. But there I will leave those few remarks. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen. I will just say, friends, that the collections taken today are for this cause of truth. And perhaps some of you may not be aware, but this little cause of truth has a great or expense before them, as there is a spring underneath this chapel which is rotting the boards. It's a reoccurring problem, and that problem now has arisen where there has to be a considerable amount of money that must be spent to put it right. May the dear Lord help us to give cheerfully. The Lord bless you. Amen.
Tea will be served at the close of this service, and everyone is most welcome to stay. We will close this afternoon with hymn 330, Tune Rhodes, number 53. Hymn 330. Your harps, ye trembling saints, down from the willows take. Loud to the praise of Christ our Lord, bid every string awake. Blessed is the man, O God, whose mind is stayed on thee. Who waits for thy salvation, Lord, shall thy salvation see. Hymn 330.